1460 WVOX.
Now, from Whitney Media, 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, this is Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Michael Dandry. Join Michael and his guests as they look at the heritage of the county and the issues facing Westchester today. And join in the conversation at 914-636-0110. Now, Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Here's Michael Dandry.
Okay, welcome to our show today. And of course, it's Christmas Eve. And I don't know about anybody else, but I still have shopping to do. You know, I like the fact that it's a Monday, too, that I can squeeze in another couple of hours of this. But anyway, welcome to the show. And as you know, I really go out of my way to find guests for this hour who personify the title of the program, Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And definitely Farouk Kathwari, who was my guest for the hour until 12:30. He's the president and CEO of Ethan Allen Furniture. Certainly fits into that category of an individual who's made a difference in the world that we live in, but who lives in New Rochelle and is a very highly respected citizen of the city of New Rochelle. Farouk, welcome to these studios.
Yeah, Michael, it is really a great pleasure.
And it's an honor for me. We're new acquaintances. I'm proud to say that my organization, the New Rochelle Arts Council, recently honored Farouk Kathwari at our gala at Waikigil Country Club, where I met him for the first time. And of course, being a radio hound, I instantly realized that this is somebody that I wanted to bring to these studios for an interview to get to know him better. So welcome again, and this is a tremendous thrill for me. By the way, Farouk, I live a very unusual life. I mean, my last broadcast, I couldn't be here because my son is not well. And a friend of mine filled in with an interview with Tony Award-winning actor Jim Dale. So I get to talk to, you know, I get to know the Jim Dales of the world and the Farouk Kathwaris, you know. That's a pretty good avocation, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'm very, very, really. It's an honor to be here, and especially having lived most of my life in New Rochelle, it's really good to be here and to talk to all the folks.
Correct. Okay. And we have so many places to go with this interview. Number one, let our listeners know the scale of the operation that you run. I know what it is because I have your biography. Mary Ellen, by the way, was terrific. She got all the information to me. She picked up the phone and she answered my questions, and we got it done in 5 minutes. That doesn't happen these days. You know, emails, I think, separate people, you know, because people have to wait for a response. But Mary Ellen got it done right away, and you were traveling at the time, you know, and she was able to do that. But again, let me go back to that first question. Give our listeners an idea of the scope of the, it's an empire that you preside over.
No, I would not call it an empire.
Well,
but
small e.
Well,
small
what I would say is this, that really it is a great honor to be involved with and heading a great iconic American brand. Ethan Allen was actually founded by two New Yorkers in 1932. One of them, who was it was a brother-in-law, had completed his law degree at Columbia in 1932. No jobs, so his brother-in-law said, "Why don't you join me until you get a job?" Well, they went to Vermont, to the Northeast Kingdom, purchased a mill, and started making early American furniture. Now, they were great entrepreneurs. They at that time also thought about what is a better way of selling furniture. Furniture was being sold at that time to most of the middle and upper middle classes, like washers and dryers are lined up. So they came with this concept of establishing what they called an Ethan Allen Gallery in stores like Macy's and Altman's and others. And so they wanted people to see how a room would look like. It was very simple, colonial, early American. They showed bedrooms and living rooms and dining rooms. And in the 1950s, 60s, it grew. They established Ethan Allen galleries all over the country in these major stores. They also started then establishing manufacturing. Started in Vermont, went to Maine, to Western New York, to Pennsylvania, to Virginia, to North Carolina, and even to Oklahoma and to California. So So they were a manufacturer.
And they did this, Farouk, they did this because they were looking for designs, they were looking for craftsmanship, and they went out to where the craftspeople were? Is that what I'm getting from you?
Absolutely. And they purchased businesses from families who really were very, very good at what they did. And then in the 60s, they came with another good idea. They said, you know, these large stores may not be able to provide a service that consumers need. So they came with the idea and convinced a lot of furniture operators with stores to convert it to an Ethan Allen gallery. So they came with a model with about 15,000 square foot gallery.
Footprint, yeah.
And wherever, and they got a lot of entrepreneurs to convert, and they gave it different names. Georgetown Manor, Landau's Ethan Allen Gallery, which used to be right here in Hartsdale in Westchester, all over the country.
I remember that one.
And by the mid-70s, they had about 250 of these galleries all over the country. And they also introduced the concept of providing, at that time, somewhat limited, but interior design service. And that's when I got involved with Ethan Allen.
Okay, which goes back, according to the notes that I read, to at least 1985, 1988. And what led you to that industry? You know, here you are, Farouk Kathwari, educated, New York University. You had a stint at Yale, apparently, also at one point, and majored in English literature. But let me interject a little editorial comment here. After having read your biography and looked at these magnificent catalogs of the furniture that you manufacture and sell in the galleries, there's a romanticism here in you that you found an outlet for. Am I embellishing that?
No, I think you're right. You know, Michael, I'll just get a little bit of a background before. Okay. I was born in the beautiful mountains of Kashmir. Beautiful country, beautiful area, but also an area of conflict. My great-grandfather was involved with arts and crafts.
Ah, there we go.
And in fact, they used to travel to a place in Kashmir called Katwar. And that's where the world's famous blue Kashmir sapphire comes from. So they were dealing in sapphires. And like in most places, our family name used to be something else called Matu, but they were also known as Katwaris. So when I decided to use that name, so I was the first one to officially use the name Katwari. Now all our family is known by that. So I grew in a family with arts and crafts. My grandfather was interested in architecture. He built beautiful homes. He built an English Tudor. He traveled to Europe. He built a Victorian, a Dutch colonial, and a traditional Kashmiri home where I was born. Nice. So I grew up in a family that was in arts and crafts. My other grandfather, from my mother's side, was a very well-known merchant of Pashmina. Pashmina is a great, you know, wool.
Fabric.
Mm-hmm. And it comes from goats that are reared in high altitudes in Tibet, in Central Asia. So that's what he was doing. And a lot of background, but anyway.
Pretty good background for the industry that you entered.
That's right. But, you know, it was sort of, while I was in Kashmir, my main objective was to play cricket. So I was the captain of the cricket team. I didn't study much. In fact, our parents wanted us to be either a doctor or an engineer. And here I was studying English literature and political science so I could play sports 5 days a week. But I was a captain. That learned, got a lot of, you might say, you have a lot of lessons in leading a sports team.
You do.
And anyway, a lot of events happened. It was almost impossible. But I ended up in New York, and I got into New York University at age 20. One of the reasons I went to New York University is that I could go to school at night.
Okay, Farouk, we are taking a small break. Hold that thought to our audience because we'll be right back with this fascinating, wonderful story.
All right.
Welcome back to Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Michael Dandry on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. Join Michael and his guests as they look at the heritage of the county and some of the issues facing Westchester today. And join in the conversation now at 914-636-0110. Now, Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Once again, here's Michael Dandry.
Okay, welcome back to our listeners, and I'm enthralled by the conversation we've had so far with my guest, Farouk Kathwari, the president and CEO of the iconic furniture brand Ethan Allen Furniture, headquartered, I believe, in Danbury, Connecticut. And, of course, Farouk Kathwari is a resident here of New Rochelle and has been honored by the New Rochelle Council on the Arts recently in October, and is also very supportive of Arts Westchester, the countywide group. Now, by the way, Farouk, you know, the wonderful biography has all of your involvements. They're enormous. And right before we went on the air, you mentioned to me that, and it was in my mind to ask you about a memoir you're working on, and next year you will present it to the world, and you'll be back to talk about that, because your life experience is extraordinary. It really is.
Well, yeah, it would be a pleasure. But as we were saying, that at age 20, I came from the beautiful mountains of Kashmir to beautiful Brooklyn.
Right.
And I made Brooklyn my home.
Where in Brooklyn, by the way?
Flatbush. And a year later, I saw an ad, because I had a little small apartment with a little sort of, I wanted some more space. I saw an ad, it said, cottage on beach, Manhattan Beach. So I thought Manhattan has a beach. But I found out it was really to the end of Brooklyn.
I had
to cross a small bridge near Sheepshead Bay and rented a small little cottage. It was amazing, beautiful, near the beach, so I could swim. But I needed a job. And
to pay for the cottage, right?
And school. And when I had not worked much, I was in sports, so I saw an ad. And it said, bookkeeper needed near Canal Street. So I asked my class fellows, I said, what's a bookkeeper? I had never seen any books. I had never seen even a calculator. They said, don't apply. But I did. Amazing thing. I did get a job. And I started learning bookkeeping while I was studying marketing at NYU. And it was there that my grandfather in Kashmir decided on his own to help me by sending me 12 wicker baskets of arts and crafts. Say, sell them and send us the cost. Will help you in your education.
Amazing.
And I had no idea what to do, but our class had received a lecture from Marvin Traub, who was the CEO of Bloomingdale's.
Right.
So I called him up.
I know. Yes.
So I called him up 6, 7, 8 days. They said, busy, cannot speak to you, but finally they got tired, saw me, and they liked what I had and placed a pretty nice order with me. And I was now in business. So that's how, you know, I got into business while I was going to school. And it was actually through that, later on, I was introduced to the founder of Ethan Allen, who, by the way, which I, of course, did not know at that time, also was a New Rochelle resident.
Right.
So I met him, and he brought in one of his merchants and said, this young man is originally from Kashmir. Do we get anything from there? They said, yes, we get this fabric. Never comes on time. Always a problem. So he looked at me and said, can you help? I said, absolutely. I had no idea. But I got into the fabric business, got an association with Ethan Allen, which later on led me, three years later, I suggested to him a joint venture. He looked at me a little bit surprised. This young man is saying a joint venture. I said, I will give up my job. By this time, I was doing well. From the bookkeeping, I ended up on Wall Street, right. First with Bear Stearns, then with Rothschilds, while still going to school.
Right.
And became a chief financial officer of the Rothschild Company.
Farouk, you were gifted.
Well, I was lucky.
Also. No, you were gifted.
So anyway, Adam Sell asked me to join the company. I said a partnership, and we did. And at that time, most products of home, like accessories and lighting, and would come from Italy. So my first job was to set up an office in Florence, Italy, a beautiful place. And then I went to many, many places. That's how my association with Ethan Allen started. And for 8-10 years, I did that. At that time, Nat and Sal wanted me to come and join. And first I did want to join because I was operating from Larchmont, you know, from a bowling lanes not far from here. Right. That was my headquarters.
Oh, I know it well. My father excavated that site.
He did?
Yes.
It's a beautiful small building which I had purchased, right. Actually. And he asked me to come in to Ethan Allen, and Ethan Allen had moved at that time from Manhattan to Danbury, Connecticut, where we are today. I didn't want to go, but I said, I'll say something to him that he will say, forget it. I said, Nat, I don't want to come here, but if I have to come here, I'll have to take your job. I thought he would look at me, because Ethan Allen had...
They're bold.
Ethan Allen had at least 30 vice presidents, a big company, 30 manufacturing sites, 250 stores. Well, anyway, he didn't completely say, he'll give the job, but he said, okay, if you come in, that will be the... And that's how I ended up at Ethan Allen.
That's astounding.
And in 1985, I became president.
Well, may I say, you know, I do remember my first bachelor apartment. Okay, I did have some early American things, but I see that which Ethan Allen specialized in. I mean, if you wanted early American, you went there because they had everything for you. But you have guided the design away from just that to a universal kind of architectural furniture that is just outstanding.
No, absolutely. You know, early American colonial was a predominant style in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to 70s. But then tastes changed. It changed in the way people dress. Right. It changed in our automobiles, in the transportation. Then it comes to the home. There's always a process. It goes with first how you dress, what your transportation is, and then it comes to the home. Right. And people became more interested in what we use the word eclectic. But our focus has always been classic design,
right.
But today with more of a modern perspective. Right. So we design our products. We are a vertically integrated company, one of the few ones left.
Now, what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
Yeah, what it means is this. We design the products. We engineer them. We make the products in our workshops. We still, 70% of all our furniture is made in our workshops in North America. And then we run the retail. Now we have 200 locations in North America and 100 outside. We also have logistics. We deliver the products at one cost nationally. Nobody else has done it so far at a level of the...
That's hard to do.
Very hard to do, especially with a bulky kind of a product and with what we call a white glove service, whether it's in California or Texas or New York or Florida. So that vertical integration, a lot of people today outsource everything. In fact, they don't want to even make things in the United States. Not easy. We still have major operations in Vermont, in North Carolina.
Right, your core.
Those are our core plants. We run a sawmill. We go to the forests. So that has been, and that has also meant for me, focusing on one enterprise, one business.
Can I say something? I'm a history major, and we both went to New York University. I got the impression that, and from your Kashmiri background, that Kashmir and the Silk Road of history, the Silk Road of trade, of international trade between China and the subcontinent and Europe, I think, you know, culturally prepared you for where you are now. Do you see that connection?
Yes, I think that the connection of art, the connection right. of diversity, because we got ideas from all over, and then also I think by personal background of being a captain of a team has also helped, because I believe that to be successful, you got to have a great team. And the job of a captain is to play with the team, lead the team, chair the team, not be sitting on the sidelines and telling them what to do.
Right, right. It's to organize that team to success, which you've done. And it's just an amazing story to me how you've managed to do this. The other thing is that your life, according to the biography, in the time we talked at the at Waikigil Country Club at the dinner, is that you also are involved with the wider world. I mean, you know, you're on the Council on Foreign Relations. You're a leader in the obviously the furniture industry in the United States. You become a volunteer on interreligious commissions to bring peace between people. So in our next segment, I'm going to find out how you find the time to do this and what kind of organization do you have to help you? In other words, what is a typical day? That sounds like a hackneyed question for an interview, but it's true. I mean, here you have to interact with all of these design centers all over the world. You mentioned 200 domestically and another 100 overseas, but also your suppliers and all. How do you keep track of all of that? You know, is to me an amazing thing. So we have 2 minutes if you want to start that question.
Yeah, well.
All right. Nope, they cut us off. So we'll be right back. Farouk, thank you.
Welcome back to Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Michael Dandry on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. Join Michael and his guests as they look at the heritage of the county and some of the issues facing Westchester today. And join in the conversation now at 914-636-0110. Now, Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Once again, here's Michael Dandry.
Okay, welcome back to our listeners. And today the subject on tap really is to focus on the life and career of Farouk Kathwari, the president and CEO of Ethan Allen Furniture, headquartered in Danbury, Connecticut. But, of course, Mr. Kathwari and his lovely family, who I got to meet in October, live on Premium Point in New Rochelle. So he's another distinguished captain of industry here and on the Sound Shore, who has come by these studios to share with us his insight into a business that that really is worldwide in scope. Farouk, I mean, you deal with all kinds of issues. Before the break, I was thinking in terms of what kind of an organization do you need to help you manage all of this? That's where I'm going.
Well, Michael, we're blessed with a great team. I said my first background was captain of a cricket team. You got to have a great team, but the captain has to play with the team, strategize with the team. So we are...
Identify with the team.
We are a vertically integrated company. See, running a sawmill up in Vermont is a very, very different business running an Ethan Allen design center in Texas or running an operation of a logistics. So you need great entrepreneurs. You need people who are dedicated. Now, my focus has always been on one enterprise, one business. You know, to run a public company and not to go and buy others is not an easy thing to do. I am now running a public company for 30 years. Being a CEO of a public company for 30 years is not an easy thing to do. But our focus is to be the best in what we can be. That gives an opportunity to create a great team and then do other things as well. If the focus was that... only focus was to go and buy other companies and take care of their problems, I would not have the time first to devote in making Ethan Allen the best, and I would not have the time to get involved with many, many other areas that I am involved with. They're all related. For instance, right now, this past year, I was asked to join a commission, the next 9/11 commission mandated by Congress. And you know the problems the world are being faced with us today.
Right, the reality.
The commission's job is to take a look at what they say fragile states. You know, you talk, Syria is in the news. Iraq is in the news.
Somalia.
So the commission, mandated by Congress, was given the opportunity and has been given the opportunity to come with recommendations of how should the United States deal with what we call these fragile states. Well, it's a 15-member commission, again, chaired by Governor Keene, former Governor Keene of New Jersey. Representative Hamilton has 15 members, including myself, former national security advisors, secretaries of state, former generals. And I sort of look at it from a perspective of how we can help, because, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, as Einstein said, it's insanity to do the same thing again and again and expect different results. So right. I get involved with these things so I can give a perspective. Obviously, you have to be constructive. You have to make sure that what you do...
Farouk, you have an international advantage. You have an international basis of an advantage, as I see it, having grown up in a storied part of the world, in Kashmir, obviously multiple languages on your part. I think that gives you a leg up. Meanwhile, we do have a caller. Steve, I understand you're on the phone.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hi.
You're on the phone.
Michael?
Yes.
Michael, hi. It's Steve Mayo from the previous show.
Oh, I know. Well, you know the rubric here. Talk.
Fantastic. Fantastic program. Farouk, I'm sorry I didn't get your name last name clearly. Don't mean to be impertinent. But Farouk, I'm great to hear. I've been a customer, Ethan Allen, and I just wondered if you could tell me, manufacturing, without divulging secrets, how much sourcing does Ethan Allen do domestically versus imports? Is that a known number?
No, it is. That is a good question. Most of our manufacturing is in the United States, as I said, in Vermont and North Carolina. Now, many years back, we had many, many more plants. Most manufacturing of the United States left the U.S. Most went to China and to other countries. We wanted to control our manufacturing, but we could not do all of that right in the United States. For instance, we have three major upholstery plants making sofas and chairs in North Carolina. We were having, like the rest of our industry, the issue of finding people who would do cutting and sewing. That was the last art.
Craft.
Most of our industry went to China. I said, no, we want to control it. So we went about 12, 13 years back to central Mexico in a state called Guanajuato, a small little plant actually being run by a former U.S. Air Force colonel and his family. About 40,000 square feet, I said, and they were doing cutting and sewing. I said, I want you to get to be part of Ethan Allen. So we acquired them, but I said, you folks got to run them. The reason was that they also treated their people well. For instance, I asked Jim. I said, Jim, what environmental and safety policies do you follow? He said, we follow all the Mexican law. I said, how about if we follow Vermont policies in Mexico? He was a bit shocked. But I tell you this. That operation today gives us an opportunity of providing and helping our three major plants in the United States. If we had not done that, the chances of having plants in the United States would be hard. So 70% of all our furniture is made in our own workshops. And we are one of the few companies that export to China.
Really?
We have 85 locations in China, and we export despite all these challenges and problems we are faced with today.
Yes.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Well, that's a wonderful story. I can only tell you, as an ex-manufacturer in the States, it warms my heart to hear that manufacturing survives in your company, and I just hope it grows. I think it's good for the country as well as for your company and your customers.
Yes, Steve, what you have to do is you have to think long-term. I remind our many, many other CEOs, our government leaders, I said, look at Germany. Germany is one of the few countries which has a net export. They make fantastic products, but they think long-term. If I was thinking short-term, I would have closed everything in the United States, Steve. But I said, no, we go to think long-term and even operate on, and some folks don't like it, when I say we're going to operate on lower profits in our U.S. manufacturing, but balance it with what we do overseas. Because you have to think long-term, and unfortunately in the United States, many, many businesses under pressure. Can't blame them.
Yep.
They have to close.
Right.
Understood.
And
let me ask you one final thing. Remember the term industrial policy some decades back? The Japanese used it. Industrial policy. It was like favoring domestic manufacturers.
Absolutely. But you see, it is not just a question of favoring. It is the business leaders have to take part in it.
It's an ethic.
It also is a question of our financial markets. If Wall Street tells us that all they're interested in is the next quarter, how are we going to think long term? I've been very, very fortunate that I've been heading Ethan Allen for 30 plus years. If my term was only 3 or 4 years, Steve, how would I think long term?
Right, right, exactly.
Great story.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Steve, for calling in. Very, very
provocative. And thank you for being an Ethan Allen customer.
That reminds me, Steve, are you still on the line? Before I came here, I told a friend of mine who was that you were coming, and Joan, and lives in Ossining. She said, make sure Mr. Kathwari knows that every piece of furniture in my house is from Ethan Allen. She did a walkthrough a few years ago when she bought her house, And from room to room, she just ordered what she saw. So, you know, I have to, I'm glad I remembered to tell you.
Michael, I'll tell you a story. Last week, I was at the U.S. State Department with Secretary Pompeo and his wife. We have been supporting for the last few years an event that the Secretary of State does for families of diplomats who are in what they call fragile states, that they don't, the families are not there, like Iraq, Syria, and others. Right. So they, he, the Secretary of State, and holds a big event for the families and lots of kids, 150, 200 kids. We at Ethan Allen support it because one of the great contracts we have is to supply Ethan Allen products to all American diplomats all over the world. So that's what we do.
Wow, to bring a sense of home and stability to their lives.
But when I was there with Secretary Pompeo and his wife, so he introduced me, and his wife said, you know, like Steve just said, he said, I've been an Ethan Allen customer all my life. So I said, Secretary Pompeo, I know I've got to take a photograph with you, but I would want to take it with you and your wife because she is the most important person for me here. And he laughed.
True. That's delightful. That is delightful. And again, you've touched on the fragile states involvement that you are making to making a better world. So, again, are there a core group of people that help you manage this enormous ship of state? You know, tell us about that. What numbers are we talking about? Do you have 50 people who are your, you know, you delegate? Obviously, you delegate authority to a lot of these people.
I tell you, it's a very interesting concept. Last night.
I guess we're taking a little break. We'll be back for that concept. So hold that thought.
I will.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Michael Dandrea on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. Join Michael and his guests as they look at the heritage of the county and some of the issues facing Westchester today. And join in the conversation now at 914-636-0110. Now, Westchester Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Once again, here's Michael Dandrea.
Okay, welcome back to this wonderful, wonderful interview for the hour with Farooq Kathwari, our neighbor here in New Rochelle, but he has a global presence in the world as the president and CEO of Ethan Allen Furniture, which position he has maintained since 1988, and he's sharing with us a lot of personal insights into how he has functioned all of these years in a very competitive industry. Let's be honest, it's not easy. And before that little break, you were on. You were telling us how you manage, again, you've been very forthcoming about your cricket team background as a youth, and that ethic of working with having a captain and a team who work together obviously has served you well, Farooq.
Yes, Michael, I would say that our overriding principle has been that we have to be entrepreneurial and disciplined. Now, keep in mind, we have 200 Ethan Allen design centers or stores. Most of them are now owned by the company. When I started, they were all basically licensed, but they retired.
Franchise.
So one at a time, we took over, and we said, who's going to run them? So my perspective was, like you do in the military, you say, take the best and promote them. So we took designers and trained them. Now we have in our retail division 200 management leaders who have almost all of them have come to the ranks. It just so happens that 70-80% are women. Same thing in our other enterprises, whether it's a product development, it's manufacturing, logistics, our people, most of them come to the ranks. Of course, we bring in new people. Now, the management style is this, as I said, that it's entrepreneurial, and every Sunday night, that's yesterday, I get 50 reports every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
And I have replied to all of them.
Those
people don't report to me.
That's the equivalent of the boxes in Buckingham Palace.
50 people from manufacturing, from retail, from logistics, from finance. And they focus every Sunday on five things. First is leadership and talent, what they have done about it every week. Second is what they have done in marketing. Internal marketing and external marketing. Third is what they have done to improve service. Fourth, what have they done to improve technology? And fifth, how they are conducting their enterprise in a socially responsible manner. it becomes a part of culture. These are five things that everybody has to talk about every week.
Right.
And you would think that in a week later, they would have much to say. I get one page, two page detail of what they have done, what has been the issue. So that gives it's a culture. It also gives an opportunity to manage the enterprise. Now, I work a lot. You know, it's not something that while I'm involved with all of these things, the only other access thing that I have is first our kids. Now we've got four little grandkids.
Right.
And then about 38 years back, I wanted to raise our children, not only in New Rochelle. I wanted them to play in the mud. I grew up in the mountains. So we were very fortunate that Hudson, New York, we bought a farm.
Oh, okay.
A dairy farm with fruit. I said, no, let them go whenever we can and let them work outdoors. One of the best things we did. We still have it. Gives me an opportunity. So it is this humanitarian work, the work with our kids and a family, and Ethan Allen. That's what my life is about.
Well, you have certainly parceled out the various aspects of your personality in a way that that's extraordinary. It really is extraordinary. Now, have you, Farooq Kathwari, gone out to these places? And do the Ethan Allen family know you physically? Have you been? I sense that the answer is yes. But
It's absolutely. In fact, when I go to Vermont or North Carolina, people are shocked when I take somebody outside with me. There are about hundreds of people who line up and give me hugs and shake hands. I've known them. Right. 25 years back, we also created a scholarship for the children of our Ethan Allen employees. Personally, we did it. And many of them come and people don't know. They come, you know, my kid got it. I know, I visit our operations in retail, in manufacturing. Oh, I spend a lot of time. And then we also invite a lot of the people up to headquarters. We also run a hotel there called the Ethan Allen Hotel.
Right.
For instance, in November, we had 550 of our people on an annual convention where we recognized 250 of our top designers. No, you have to be very much connected. You have to be part of the team. You have to. You know, my perspective in leadership is this. You have to
and
be
you
strong.
Enjoy that part.
No, you have to be strong.
Yeah.
But you have to be respectful. Mm-hmm. You have to be respectful. And you have to let people know where you stand. And if you do those two things, then it works.
Right. And you've successfully bridged that, that netherland between captaining things and delegating. That's a very difficult path to try, don't you think?
Oh, it absolutely is, and not easy.
No.
And, you know, I still am hands-on, but we cannot be hands-on in trying to run something in Vermont or in Texas or in North Carolina or in other places. You got to have great people, and we do.
And you have confidence in your team, and you manage with all of this, with the family, with your involvements in a publicly traded company. You're on the stock exchange. You have to answer to the, to your investors.
I'm also very pleased, Michael. Yes. I'm on the advisory board of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes, I saw that.
I'm involved with, on one hand, I'm involved with nonprofit, but then you also have to be involved with the business side. Years back, I chaired the National Retail Federation, which is the largest federation of retail in the United States. And it was a great honor for the 50 CEOs of the major leading company in the United States to ask me to head it.
Right.
So you have to do that. You have to make sure that you stay involved with business, because you cannot go in one. In my view is you have to balance. It can't be just one way.
No, balance it
works.
We only have two minutes left, but is there any connection between your personality and reaching out to people and doing, and captaining this enormous business with an ancestral background? I get that from you because you were talking earlier in the broadcast about the fact that your ancestors dealt with all kinds of people.
It is. My father was actually a minister of law in Kashmir. So my grandfather was in business.
Right.
So we saw the government, we saw politics, we saw arts,
right.
Sports,
right.
And
commerce.
And then, other background is when I came here, land in Brooklyn, I said, and I came from an area of conflict, I said, this is my home.
Right.
I'm an American, and this is my home, And really, it's an attitude. People sometimes think, when I came to New Rochelle 45 years back, and now talk of New Rochelle, been one of the best things we did. We lived not far from here on Elk Avenue for 24 years. We raised our kids there. So New Rochelle has been a great, great place for us to live and raise our kids. It's a balanced community.
Right. Well, thank you very much for being here. And you'll be back after that memoir is finished. Yeah, I think I'll give you two shows. We'll do because it's obviously going to be an enormous work.